I'm joined by the Guardian's Abdul Rahman Hussein in Cairo. Abdul, we're getting videos of both sides firing gunshot at each other. How did you see it happen?
Well, it was a brutal fight. It was, protesters and Morsi supporters were both throwing stones and Molotov cocktails at each other. I think the Morsi supporters were the ones who began with the birdshot using locally made handguns and pellet guns. And then a few hours later, as more numbers came in from the support from the opposition side, they started trading these types of things. There were also sporadic clashes with the Central Security Forces, who were ostensibly supposed to break this whole thing apart, but then every once in a while they'd get in on the action and fire some tear gas, and it was a huge mess. It was a brutal mess.
And this morning, tanks have been deployed outside the presidential palace. What's the significance of that?
Well, the significance of that is yet to be determined. Actually, it's an interesting because the question is: does this mean that the army has gotten involved in the political schism, or is it just there to protect the presidential palace? I mean, obviously, the police forces were unable to secure the perimeter of the palace, so that's why there are army tanks rolling in now around the presidential palace. This happened last time in the days of Mubarak, and eventually the army had to intervene and take action in the political sphere. So it could be a precursor to that, or it could be just defending the perimeter of the palace.
Is it in the interest of the army to defend Morsi?
Well, he is the president, and I don't know what the interests of the army. But I would surmise that it is in the interest of the army to defend Morsi, because the constitution that he's trying to pass through on the referendum cements their privileges that keep them a state within a state. There is no oversight on them except by this body called the National Security Council, in which they are army members are a majority. They are allowed to still try civilians in military trials. The constitution, the draft constitution that's supposed to be put to a referendum on December 15th, protects the army and gives them all the privileges that the revolutionaries or the pro-revolution forces do not want to see at all, especially after all the violence and the death and the killings at the hands of the army during the transitional period.
So that's enough to secure their loyalty?
This is just my assumption at the moment. I mean, I think they've learned their lesson regarding intervening too overtly in politics, and I think they also don't want to do that again. If it's about interest, their interests lie with Morsi, or at least with the draft constitution that's trying to be passed.
Now, Morsi is due to address the nation again later today. What's he expected to say?
You know what? I'm not sure, because he hasn't, all the times that he's come out and spoken and addressed the public, which has been very rare. I mean, he's been predominantly silent. He hasn't conceded anything. He hasn't made any concessions. He hasn't given anything. He's given no quarter. I mean, at this point, to be honest, I don't think anything he says will have that much relevance anymore, because now there's death and now there's blood, and so the situation has shifted. It's entirely different. It's not a political spat. It's not protests and counter protests. It's now clashes and blood and death.
One of his aides said that he was going to be calling for dialogue. That's hardly going to placate the opposition, is it?
Not at all. I mean, he's been calling. He did the same thing. The issue with this is that he announced his decree, and he ring-fenced the Constituent Assembly so that they can finish the constitution. And he did all that unilaterally without consultation, and then he called for dialogue. And so opposition forces are saying, there is no dialogue until you at least revoke the decree. But at this point, I don't think even if he does revoke the decree, it's going to make much of a difference.
And we've had several Morsi's aides resigning. How serious is that for him?
It's not serious on the political. It's serious in just the way things are perceived. When the whole point of his advisors were, when Morsi assumed office, initially they said that he would appoint a Coptic Christian and a female vice president, like two vice presidents. That didn't happen. So what happened was he assembled this presidential advisory council, advisors from all different walks of like the political spectrum, to kind of show that he's trying to be inclusive. So there was a female advisor, there was a Christian advisor, et cetera. There were liberal and secular advisors, and so they're all leaving him. And so it's basically, if it does anything, it highlights that. It's now Morsi and his supporters and the Muslim Brotherhood against everybody else.
Just mark our card. What's going to happen over the next few days?
Well, I expect there are marches expected to the palace today, later in the evening.
Pro or anti?
No, anti. And there's going to be Friday tomorrow is usually a big day for protests, so we can expect massive protests tomorrow.
And the referendum, how do you see that going?
The referee, he doesn't want to delay. I mean, Vice President Mahmoud Mekki, gave a press conference from the palace yesterday at the same time as pro-Morsi supporters broke up the sit-in around the palace. And he said there would be no delay in the date of the referendum, which is December 15th. So far, Morsi doesn't look like he wants to give anything, so I doubt that he will now.
Is there anything he can offer?
I don't know. I mean, prior to yesterday, had he revoked the decree that gave him extraordinary powers and granted him immunity from judicial review, and then possibly maybe delayed the referendum, been able to give more time for discussions and debates around it and possibly amendments, then yeah, he could have had something to offer. I think if he comes out today and offers the same thing, I think it will still be refused. The paradigm has shifted. The situation on the ground has shifted. Once there's death and once there's blood, everything changes. And so opposition forces now cannot even be seen to accept or be willing to hold a dialogue with Morsi, because their supporters will be like, no, our people died now, and so there's no talking, not anymore.
The death toll is up to six, is that right now?
Yes, I think six is the latest official number. I'm expecting the death toll will rise throughout the day as we get more confirmation of more deaths. It was quite brutal yesterday.
And do we know which side bore the most casualties?
The opposition side, but that doesn't mean that there weren't casualties on the pro-Morsi side. There were casualties as well on the pro-Morsi side, injuries and deaths. But the opposition forces, protesters bore the brunt of the death toll, definitely.
Okay, Abdu, thanks very much.
Well, thanks, Matt.